Welcome to Season 7, Episode 27 of the Ubuntu Podcast. It's all right, everybody, I'm back. It's Wednesday, the 1st of October, and we're going to discuss what's happening in the news and in the Ubuntu community. If you're listening live, you can send us messages using the chat thing on the website and in the hash UUPC IRC channel. I'm Tony. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember me?
Who's he?
And joining me this week, it's, well, the whole team's back together. It's quite nice, really. So we've got Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hiya.
Did you miss me?
Yeah.
Would you like to say any more than
that? Well, I missed you in that the audio production quality was slightly lower while you were away. If that means miss you, then Yes, I missed you.
Laura just stuck out her tongue at you. Laura is still at the console and in charge of the faders. How are you doing, Laura?
Okay.
Good, good, good. Seamless. And Mark's here as well.
Hello, I'm back as well.
Fantastic. So we're looking forward to a couple of fun-packed episodes, I'm sure. Yeah. Should we just crack on with some news?
Why not?
Yes, yeah, let's.
I do like a nice bit of news.
And here is the news. In a surprise move, Netflix engineer Paul Adolf emailed the Ubuntu developer discussion list recently to suggest that with a simple library update here and removal of a user agent string detection there, we could get Netflix in Chrome on Ubuntu with little or no effort.
Wow. What's Netflix?
So some people like to watch films and television programs.
Yep.
And sometimes they watch them over the internet, which is a series of tubes.
Al Gore invented it.
Yes, that's right. It's a fast and efficient method for delivering kittens.
Right.
And Netflix is a
subscription. You might notice the information superhighway.
And Netflix is a subscription-based system where you can pay them some money and then open your browser and start watching programs and films.
Okay.
But up until now, it's not been possible to do that easily on Linux because of a few silly things, including the technology that they use to deliver the video.
So they deliberately stopped Ubuntu people from using it.
It's a bit mean.
It was a combination of if it not Ubuntu, well, Linux didn't support initially Silverlight, which you used to stream it, and later on the encrypted media extensions thing. Which they used to stream it. And so if you went to the website, rather than sort of allowing you to install them under Wine or something clever like that, it just said, nope, you're on Ubuntu. You can't possibly be able to watch these go away.
Yeah, they basically detected what browser you're using with your user agent string and smacked you in the face with a page that says, no, you need to use one of these supported platforms because those are the platforms that they, you know, like a PlayStation 3 or a Wii or any one of a bazillion different devices that have a Netflix native app, but not Linux.
Okay, but actually it did work.
If you jumped through some hoops, you could get it working. Basically, if you got your Linux box to pretend to be not Linux by using Silverlight, Pipelight, or a Windows version of a browser, and you know, various hoops to jump through, which you know you can do, but it's just a bit of a faff.
So is it now easy to watch Netflix, or is this just one of several hoops removed?
It will be soon. So the email came direct from Netflix. It was kind of a bit out of the blue. He emailed the developer discussion list and said, can you please update this library in Ubuntu? Because if you update that library, then I, at the Netflix end, I'll remove the user agent string detection, and everyone's a winner. You can then watch Netflix. And this was kind of surprising. Nobody expected this to happen. And a few news sites went a bit bonkers and everyone's happy once they do their bit at their end, which we're led to believe that will happen sometime soon, and everyone's a winner.
Fantastic.
And is it only in Chrome?
Only Chrome has the encrypted media extension, so it won't work in Chromium. So, you know, if you don't want to use Chrome as your default browser, you could install Chromium, set that to be your default browser, and whenever you want to launch Netflix, launch Chrome and only use it for Netflix if you really wanted to.
Right.
You could even use it in an incognito thing so that it doesn't track anything. And, you know, you could do that, I would imagine. Speculating wildly there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good news.
What's up next?
Giant technology manufacturer Samsung are going to stop selling notebooks or laptops to you and me in Europe. The move includes the end of the sales of Windows and Chromebooks made by the Korean company.
They're going to stop selling them to you and me?
Yeah, just you and me.
Oh, well, that's all.
After last week's fiasco.
I tend to only buy ThinkPads anyway, so that's okay.
But they're a big manufacturer.
They're massive.
And they're pulling out of Europe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or, well, are they pulling out of Europe or are they pulling out of laptops?
Well, they're pulling out of laptops in Europe.
Right.
Yes.
So is that because people in Europe aren't buying laptops?
Or people aren't buying Samsung laptops?
Yeah.
Maybe this prediction that has been made that people are actually buying touch-enabled mobile devices and not laptops.
Yeah. And Samsung do very well on the Android market.
they make a truckload of devices.
Yeah.
I saw a picture recently that was showing the comparison between the number and range of devices that Apple sell and the number and range of devices that Samsung sell. And it showed them all next to each other, lined up in a line with all the sizes of all the devices. And it goes from, like, you know, 3 inches all the way up to 10 inches and every possible size in between, covering, you know, I want one that's 4.5 millimeters. No, I want one that's 5.3 millimeters. You'll get it because Samsung sell one of every single size. It's bizarre.
Wow.
But no longer laptops. And the other thing.
They're also one of the few companies who make money out of selling Android handsets.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. They do have a massive marketing budget for it, but you know, a lot of Android handset manufacturers don't make a lot of money, and that's one of Google's problems. But obviously not making enough money on the notebook market.
So, I don't think I've ever had a Samsung laptop.
I don't think I've ever seen a Samsung laptop. Samsung TVs,
you have one? You had one, didn't you, Laura?
Yes, my red one.
Your red one is Samsung.
You had the...
Oh, yeah, I did actually, yeah. Uh-huh. I did have one from work for a few years.
How could you forget? No, I've never had one.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was two or three... jobs ago,
but it was still during the lifetime of this podcast.
Oh yeah, we've been doing this podcast for
quite some time.
Apple fans the world over have been distraught at the revelation that the iPhone 6 bends when shoved roughly into a pocket. It appears that the metal casing is weak around the volume buttons, which is very nasty. A bent iPhone 6, that's one that is, you know, warped, not one that's been stolen. A bent iPhone 6 continues to work until it is straightened out again. So, Alan, you know, as our representative Apple user.
Oh, yes.
How have your people viewed this news?
Well, as I speak for all Apple, they're putting a brave face on it and reporting that using facts from internally inside Apple.
Apple facts.
The phones do not, in fact, bend.
Well, no, they do.
They
do bend, but only a very small number of them have bent.
Right.
This includes, I think, 9 customers, they said, out of the 10 million. I don't think this includes every YouTuber ever who's bent one on video.
On purpose.
On purpose, deliberately. Or the youngsters who went into Apple stores and started bending phones that were on display in Apple stores. I don't think it includes those ones. So I think we're pushing up to, you know, knocking maybe 50 if we include all of those. But, I don't know.
So the top tip was basically don't push it roughly into your back pocket and sit on it.
Yeah, which I think applies for many things.
Are
we
talking about back pockets, are we?
I don't know.
That's the original news story.
Oh,
I think.
Well, okay, yeah. Yeah. I mean, my dad used to sit on his Palm PDAs all the time and break them.
Right.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, but the difference is they didn't cost, like, knocking on 700 quid and just came out.
Well, why would you sit on something that cost you 700 quid that wasn't a settee?
Well, indeed. And many...
Have you just bought a new settee?
Yeah. Okay. I've bought one for the podcast studio. You'll get to see it in the next episode.
I was going to say, we haven't seen it yet.
No.
You're heavily covering it up.
We should make Alan and Mark still sit on that one.
It's the naughty sofa.
Yeah.
So a lot of the anti-Apple press, mostly in terms of like Android blogs and people who just don't like Apple, have been reporting on how this is indicative of the low quality that Apple have on their products, and this would never have happened under Steve Jobs, and it's because the phones are so thin now and the construction is so terrible of the iPhone 6 and the 6 plus. But I'm not so sure.
There are a few amusing sort of jibing adverts from Android phone companies as well.
Yes, I think HTC did one, didn't they?
And KitKat.
Yeah, and
KitKat, really?
Yeah, lots of people were getting in on the act.
Right.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
KitKat was saying, yeah, their products are designed to break when you bend them.
It's great. It's good fun. I'm sure it's not good fun if you've spent out a fair amount of money and your phone has legitimately bent in your pocket.
Yes.
Well,
they're also bigger phones, aren't they? So if even if your
more
previous...
leverage.
Yeah, exactly. And they won't fit so neatly into your pocket. So if you're used to putting your slightly smaller phone in your pocket and now put a bigger phone in your pocket, it's more likely to damage it anyway.
So I've had a Nexus 7, the 2012 version, for since, well,
2012?
Two years now. And
see what you did there?
I frequently put it in my back pocket. And, yeah, okay, I'm a large guy. I've got big back pockets, you cheeky cow.
It's got a Samsung netbook in there as well.
The last one. And, yeah, I don't think I've ever sat on it. And B, it's not broken yet. So, yeah, good quality there from Asus, making the Nexus 7. Moving on.
Great. Well done.
Microsoft have announced the Microsoft Wireless Display Adapter. It attempts to compete with the much more sexily named Chromecast made by Google. Costing $60, it will allow you to stream video from your device to a big screen using Miracast.
So there are millions of these things around
And they cost like, you know, $10.
Why would you buy a Microsoft branded one? What does it do that the others don't?
I don't know what the ones that do cost $10 do.
That... Well, like what
that,
Laura's got plugged into the telly.
I know we talked about it.
They look nice
ago,
sat next to a telly.
I've been away. I've forgotten these things.
Oh, right,
so this enables you to stream video content from a tablet or a phone or a laptop to a TV.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Using this widget that you plug into your TV.
But that you don't need if you've got a connected new TV, but I don't.
Right. So some of them have got them built in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, some smart TVs do. Yes.
Okay.
Given that they're calling it a Microsoft Wireless Display Adapter, I assume their intended use case is people wanting to connect monitors to their PCs or Xboxes without having to use a cable.
Are they targeting domestic or business
use?
Well,
you could also plug one of these, I would imagine, into a projector and not have to run a cable to it and not have to faff around and just press a button on your desktop and it discovers the device and then beams to the thing.
$60 is £40, and I think I can't remember what mine was, but it was maybe £25 to £30, and you can get them for as little as £15, which is
even the Chromecast,
so it's
which
not
is
that
30,
different really actually.
Chromecast £30, and in fact $30
which
as
would
well
be what, oh right, okay.
But they did do a promotion recently where they dropped it to I think £20, and so I bought three of them.
Wow.
For $60.
I remember using a wireless projector that connected to a laptop connected to it over 802.11b. This would be probably a decade ago now, and that was very, very slow. Hopefully the refresh rate on these things is slightly better.
Well, for most of them you're streaming video, like compressed video from some other location over Tinternet, the tubes, remember?
It all comes together.
Yeah.
So I tested this out because I wasn't sure about how good the transfer was if you were playing, say, a video.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it both with and without doing the weird cast thing. So it was coming either through my tablet and across the wire or down. Anyway, I discovered ultimately that Virgin Media's got a problem at the moment that means that it doesn't work very well in the evenings on YouTube and iPlayer. Hopefully that'll be fixed by Christmas, at which point I'll do the test again and see if it makes any difference.
It'll all be over by Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. What's up next then, Alan?
Oh, me.
I just decided to nominate you.
Good stuff.
Checking you're awake.
Debian have decided to switch back to GNOME as their default desktop in their next release. Having switched to XFCE last year, GNOME has been chosen for its accessibility and systemd integration.
Ooh.
All hail systemd.
So
those spidery tentacles of systemd spreading far and wide.
So systemd is what, Alan?
Really? You've been away that long?
Systemd is really interesting and we should talk about it in depth.
The ones...
No, the other one.
The systemd wars have been going on like the time war forever.
Right.
You must remember those.
I think they've been time locked and forgotten about.
Yes,
so this is a replacement for Upstart,
a replacement for init. Yeah, init systems in general.
Yeah, so it's how services are started and stopped and monitored and things within a Linux system.
Right.
And GNOME has better integration with that than XFCE.
Apparently so.
Okay. It seems a strange thing to have made their choice on default desktop.
If you look at their wiki, there's like a number of factors, and they sort of rate each desktop as to how it performs on each of those factors, and GNOME performed across the board better on all those factors.
But what
systemd
was
a particular one.
The fact that the project's, you know, being updated and active development?
I think it was packaging and how well they had relationships with the developers and so on.
Because I know XFCE has had a lot of criticism recently from various angles that it's either dead or dying not many updates to it. And if you look on their Git tree, it's like the odd update here and there, and mostly those are related to localization and translation and stuff, and not actually massive new features landing, which you are getting with modern desktops like GNOME.
Right. Mm. So I can see the accessibility being important. That's a very worthwhile thing to want to encourage in a desktop environment, particularly the default one. So I can see that being a good reason to switch. It's interesting. Swapping around and changing around. Mm. The wheel turns. Some people are cast down. Others are raised up.
We also have some gaming news, don't we, Tony? I know you've been away, but I know you've been keeping your finger on the pulse of gaming news.
You've been taking your Nintendo 3DS with you,
and
I'm
sure. And I've deliberately left plenty of time for you to talk about this.
And you've been reading the article beforehand, so you know what to say.
Yeah, I know exactly what I'm talking about.
So hit us with the gaming news, gaming master.
Basically, there's an opportunity to save 75%. That is about three quarters. three quarters of the price rather than the content of the game.
What are we saving money on?
Something called Borderlands 2. On the Steam Linux platform.
Right.
Gaming platform. I don't know if you're familiar with Steam, but it's a way of playing popular real games on Linux. So, yeah, you can save...
Other platforms are available.
Yeah, I mean, it does, obviously, but this is the Ubuntu podcast that we're talking about.
Of course, of course.
Why would we talk about other platforms? So, basically, yeah, you can save a whopping 75%. You know,
how much is it usually?
About four times the current amount.
Yeah, so it's about fiver at the moment. Borderlands 2, it's fiver at the moment.
$4.99, actually.
Oh, okay.
Get it right.
Well, I did say about a fiver.
Yeah.
And
you can buy a four-pack for £14.99.
Oh, right. And when does this promotion end?
It ends in 21 hours as we are going live.
Great. So if you're listening to this on the podcast...
And if we release it on time...
if we release it on time... You'll still have missed
20
it.
Minutes.
So, topical news here.
So, yeah, I bought this yesterday, and
That's a coincidence.
It's jolly good fun. Yes.
So, it seems to be a game that involves, it's a 3D type.
A 3D type
game, isn't it?
Wow.
That's my favourite genre.
Yeah.
Yes.
Involves dinosaurs, trucks.
I think, Tony, you're overloading us with detail here. Let's move on to the community news.
The Ubuntu podcast needs you. Yes, you. If you hear something that enthralls, exasperates, or elevates you, tweet at UUPC or email podcast@ubuntu-uk.org. You can also talk to us on the telephone, Skype, Facebook, and Google+. Find links to all these places on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. Please, do get in touch. I mean it. Just one message. Just to know there's someone out there who cares.
And now it's time for some community news. And first off, the new Ubuntu Cloud images have been released to address the recent bash vulnerabilities, which I don't think we spoke about yet, did we?
No, we haven't.
Maybe we'll cover those next week.
Or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll do some interviews.
Maybe we'll do something
instead.
Yes. Okay, so... So now that means if you get a new Ubuntu image on some sort of cloud hosting provider, then you won't have to worry about being shell-shocked.
No.
So, yes. Yeah. Presumably, this requires the cloud providers to have used these updated images. Does the cloud provider host the operating system image, or does the cloud service user point in the direction of the image?
Well, usually we provide official images,
yeah,
as in Canonical provide official images, but And you can get those from like cloudimages.ubuntu.com. There's like daily images. But I would imagine that most reputable cloud hosting providers would update their own images as well.
Mm. Okay.
But these are just the official ones that we build.
So, yeah. So this is just to address the massive bash vulnerability that was found, called Shellshock, well, nicknamed Shellshock. Why do vulnerabilities have to have nicknames and a logo?
Because
now?
News.
Ah, right. So it was quite bad, but these are fixed in now. And if you haven't updated your Ubuntu system, do so.
Yeah, yes, you probably should.
Get on that.
Yeah. Yes, the final beta release of Utopic Unicorn, which will be 14.10, has been released.
Ooh. What's in it, Alan?
Well, not a lot. Yeah, it's got all the usual, you know, kernel, office, browser updates. There's been some, for the default desktop Ubuntu, there's been some bug fixes and performance tuning for Unity, and all the underlying stuff has been updated. But there's no like major features landing in 4.10 for a standard Ubuntu.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah, there's still weeks to go.
It's only the final beta.
It could be. Yes. Yeah, I'm hoping we've stopped doing that. landing new things like right after final freeze into the images.
So there's nothing significant in Unity, nothing new that's changed in the way that people will interact with Ubuntu?
No, I mean, it looks very similar to 14.04. You wouldn't really notice any difference. There isn't any like major UI moving around or shuffling or anything like that.
Is there a good reason for people to upgrade then?
If you like latest stuff, sure. If you want latest kernel and latest video drivers, if you do a bit of gaming, I know you do, then you might want your latest NVIDIA driver or something. But if you're a real hardcore gamer,
I'm gonna play. What was it called?
On your S and MacBook.
I can't be bothered. I had to put my age into that site to see the
Totally. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
So you might want to update if you want the latest and greatest. But actually, 14.04 is a rocking release, and it's LTS. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd stay on LTS if I were you.
Cool.
Says the bloke who did upgrade.
Right.
No wishes he didn't.
Good. Right. The voice of Canonical. says. Okay. What's up next on the community news, Laura?
Kubuntu 14.10 beta 2 was also released.
Oh, and what's in that,
there's
Alan?
There's a pattern here, I think.
What's new in that?
I don't know. I don't run it.
Not a lot. It's just bluer.
And Ubuntu GNOME 14.10 beta 2 has been released
without GNOME 3.14.
Oh,
there's been a lot of discussion on the GNOME Foundation list about this very problem,
because the Ubuntu release is out of sync with the GNOME release schedule. So GNOME release is really late in our cycle, so it's very difficult for us to get GNOME into the archive in time for the release. So, I mean, we used to, way in the past, when GNOME was the default desktop, but now it isn't. The motivation to put a load of effort in for the desktop team is low because it's no longer the default desktop. But the Ubuntu GNOME team could do that, but they haven't. So, yeah, that's their choice.
Yeah. I remember there have been discussions around synchronizing those release cycles.
Yeah, and yeah, it's tricky, but there's PPAs for it. So, you know, if you really wanted to upgrade to 12.10 and get 3.14, you can get it from a PPA.
14.10.
Yeah, that. No, 3.14, did I mean?
3.14,
I
meant 3.14. Okay.
I said 12.10.
Yeah. Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm on crack.
You also said 4.10 earlier, which is weird because that, you know, is a 10-year-old distro.
Golly.
Moving on. Anyway, Ubuntu 14.10 beta 2 has been released. What's in that, Alan?
Nothing.
Right. Okay. Moving on. And
there's Lubuntu.
All right, okay.
I have no idea what 14.10
I think that's 14.10 beta 2.
I think we should maybe move on to talk about some events.
I was going to ask Alan what was in Lubuntu, but okay. Actually, just quick mention, there's just time to get your nominations in for the Loco Council. So if you want to nominate somebody who you don't like to be punished by serving on the... No, it's a great thing to do.
Alan did it for a long time and it didn't do any harm to him.
No, their Twitch is nearly gone.
I'm not bitter.
Yeah. So tell us about an event, Mark.
Og Camp is happening this weekend.
Oh, ooh, gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's very exciting. That's the 4th and 5th of October at the Oxford Hotel in Oxford. It's a free culture on conference, which means it's about open source and open hardware and Creative Commons and anything else
music
people feel like talking about.
Music and craft and culture and politics. Yes.
And where can I find out more and get tickets, Mark?
Ogcamp.org. Thanks for asking. So we've got all kinds of cool stuff going on. This year we are sponsored by Ubuntu, supported by Canonical.
Yay!
The lovely folks at Linux Voice.
Hurrah!
Yay!
The Ogcamp community, of course.
Hooray!
And a new sponsor this week, Moorcrofts.
Ooh.
Who are sponsoring our workshops. So we're going to have...
Are they the lawyers?
They are the lawyers.
Oh. Yes. I was gonna say, it sounds like a law firm.
And I was right.
Are they coming along?
Yes, Andrew Katz, who's one of our speakers, is from...
I've seen him give a talk at something else in the past.
Yes.
Yes, entertaining. Yes,
yes, he's a good speaker. So we have an open hardware workshop, which is going to be outside. We've got a bit of outside space outside the exhibition hall. And there's going to be HandyBot demonstrations there on the Saturday, which is a portable CNC router.
HandyBot.
Don't know what you're sniggering about.
I was just thinking of MediBot.
Oh. I just thought of Stephen Fry.
They're going to be cutting stuff out of wood, including some awesome little Ogcamp plaques they've designed.
Oh, nice.
So if you want something made, then they just want a bit of money to cover the expenses of the material. So they said that for one of the plaques, it'll be about £1. In fact, it'll be exactly £1 because they don't want them to faff about with change. So, and they're these really cool little things. And yeah, go and see them in action. And also on Sunday, OpenTRV are going to be there doing soldering workshops. They are selling kits for their home heating automation systems on their exhibition stand. And if you want to see how to put one together, they'll be doing a workshop on that. They're also giving a talk on Saturday about the project. And we've got lots of other exhibitors. And we're having a party on Saturday evening, which is at the venue.
Where's that?
The Oxford Hotel.
Sweet.
So in the university suite, which is where the main stage is going to be, in the evening it's going to be transformed into the place to be.
Party the suite.
Yes.
Loads of geeks sitting at one end of the room while the music's at the other end of the room. Yeah.
So yes, we will have some sort of merriment and drinks and sitting and talking.
Is there actually going to be a bar?
There is going to be a bar.
Is the bar going to be served by more than one person?
Yes, I have been told that the number of bar staff is calculated based on our expected attendees, and I've told them our expected attendees.
So we're going to have 300 bar staff.
But it's in Oxford, not in Liverpool, so the prices are going to be a bit more expensive.
And you shouldn't go to Liverpool. I thought that's what you were going to say. It's in Oxford, not in Liverpool.
On
by
that
the way.
Bombshell.
Yes. We'll probably have some sort of informal gathering on the Friday as well, but we'll post more details of that nearer the time.
Yeah, if you follow Ogcamp on Twitter.
On Twitter, yes.
Yes, you'll find out more.
That's all for episode 27. We'll be back, next week, I think, when we will be... I think we're going to be just throwing some content out there, aren't we?
It'll be the post-Ogcamp blues.
Oh, are you going to be sad about it?
Maybe. Well, you know, because I'll have to wait another year for Ogcamp, won't I?
Or hungover.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's it. We're going to be putting some really interesting content out there, so make sure you join us. If you are listening live, basically keep listening, and we're going to be... right back. If you're not listening live, you're listening downloaded, wait till the next episode comes out, then download.
Give away
that.
All our secrets.
Unless you wait a week and download it two at once, in which case, carry on listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.